This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Well, we do go over the line with hockey.
I mean, one of us does do a hockey show every weekend.
That's right.
It's called The Marginal Fan.
No, it's called Crash the Net. To rave reviews week one, by the way.
Yeah, rave reviews.
That's because you had Donnie on.
It's hockey, man.
Well, we asked you and you said no.
And I'll continue to say no.
Why? Because you're hurt? Because you weren't asked to host the show?
I didn't say I wanted to host it. I could
have co-hosted
it. I wasn't even consulted. Not even consulted.
You're so hurt.
Chris, let me ask you if you're partial to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're impartial.
That's what I meant, impartial.
Yeah.
This is DCR.
Well, we won't ask any more of
this. I prefer you do ask so I can continue to say no.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning.
All right, good morning. Big 7 o'clock hour. Mike Tenenbaum in just a moment. Adam Schefter, 7:30. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. So you really doubt that I'll ask Mike Tenenbaum the way he was... had his temperature taken as a child. I don't know why you would think I wouldn't ask him.
No, I don't think you're going to do it.
Mike?
No, I don't think you'll do it.
Okay. You'll see. I'll ask him about Dak Prescott. I'll ask him about Sam Darnold, temperature taken, anything. We can go anywhere with Mike. Mike's very comfortable on this show.
I'm going to ask you, Chris, because you're partial.
Did you forget what meant what when you were saying it earlier?
I don't even know what I meant. It's that Harvard education kicking in.
That's right. Had you gone to Harvard, you might know the difference between partial and impartial.
That's your CTE kicking in, Rico. That's what that is.
The best was Dave's face in the Zoom, too. He's like, no, I think you mean impartial.
Well, I didn't know what to say because I didn't want to correct you, but I think it had to be done. All right, let's bring him in. Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike, our resident general manager. How are you?
I'm doing great. Very newsworthy Tuesday morning to be on with you guys.
Well, here's the thing. There's something that we've debated recently, which had a lot of airtime, which has nothing to do with sports. And it was thrown out, would anybody ask you this question? And they don't think that I will, and I'd like to. Are you comfortable with me avoiding sports for just the first question? And I don't think it goes that over the line. It was done to me as a child. I would like to ask you if this happened to you as well. Can I ask you this question?
Sure. Absolutely, Dave.
Can I ask you this? How old are you, Mike?
52.
Oh, perfect. You're right in the wheelhouse. All right, Mike. I admitted, and to the mockery of both of these guys, that as a child, I had my temperature taken in the bottom. And I said that this was common practice. Hundreds of people called to defend me that this was what was done when they were a child. Did you have rectal temperature taking as a child?
You know, I don't quite remember. I think maybe when I was younger, Dave, but I can't I do remember orally, so not that much rectally, but I can't rule it out, to be candid.
I think you've probably have subconsciously blocked it out, and it did in fact happen. You don't want to remember that it did, I think is what happened. All right, let's move on quickly, and we'll clean this thing off. Let's turn our attention to Dak Prescott. We've talked to you about this seemingly years. Are you surprised this thing finally got done?
You know, just talking to a lot of people last night, guys, I think this is really a factor of two things. Ultimately, Dallas had a bad plan. They waited. And there was bad luck, you know, with the pandemic. The cap went down. And, you know, we talked about it literally yesterday on Get Up. And I'll be on in an hour talking about it again. But they just couldn't take the one-year deal at 37. It was really untenable. So when you look at the cap number, it's going to be $22 million. They're saving $15 million on the cap number. And this is a situation where Dak Prescott had the leverage, and Dak Prescott won big time.
Mike, where does this put Dallas now? I mean, quarterback's locked up. $22 million is reasonable for, you know, a franchise quarterback. even with the cap being down. Where do you think this puts Dallas in the landscape of the NFC East and the NFC in general?
They have a lot of work to do. Now, look, they created a lot of cap room, like you just said, but corner, you know, they're not very good there. Safety, I think they're average. They need another pass rusher. Their offensive line was once their strength, and they have a lot of work to do. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is, because of this, they have the ability to go do that. But I think because of Washington's defense, this is going to be an interesting division. I really like to know who Washington's quarterback is, and then we can start really looking at, you know, who is, you know, the best team in this division. But make no doubt about it, like, this gives Dallas a chance. And before last night, they had no chance because this is a bad defense, and they had no way to make it better.
Mike, let me just follow up quickly. So let me ask you a question. Now, I understand Jerry Jones at his age, I mean, he's trying to win now. So the thought of rebuilding is completely out of the question. But for you, I make Mike Tannenbaum the GM, and I put you in that spot now. As badly as they've screwed this up by not signing him after extending him after year three, where this team is at, you just mentioned offensive line is getting old right in front of your eyes. Like, defense stinks. What would you have done with Dak Prescott? Would you have signed him, or would you have looked to tag and move him?
Yeah, no, I would have signed him 2 years ago, but I still would have kept him, guys, because, you know, people are talking about Russell Wilson, you know, and should Seattle move on. And I'd rather have a really good quarterback and a bad cap situation. If you go back to Seattle, you know, they're trying to win with Matt Flynn and Tavares Jackson, and they hit on Russell Wilson. You pay Russell Wilson and you figure out the rest. I mean, isn't that what Tom Brady and Tampa Bay just showed us, that players are going to want to play with great quarterbacks? And I'm not saying Dak's in that category necessarily, but I'm a big Dak fan. I think you could win with him, and I just don't think there was any way you could let him walk out the door.
Mike, Dan Orlovsky the last couple of weeks has been saying you can't pay good quarterbacks great quarterback money. A lot of people think that this is going to limit what the Dallas Cowboys can do in the future in terms of retaining the players that they want to keep as a part of their core, or going out in free agency and making moves. What makes this deal the right deal for Jerry Jones at this particular time?
Yeah, Chris, no, it's a great discussion. I felt differently because, again, you know, when you look at what Tampa Bay did, they were able to get good players at less prices because people want to play with Tom Brady, and, you know, with Dak Prescott, they have a chance to win. And I think the other thing that's interesting, Chris, is maybe Jerry Jones knows something that we don't. Maybe he thinks maybe these TV deals are going to come in even bigger than we think they are. And, I mean, it's hard for me to even say this, but at $40 million a year, maybe that's not, you know, crazy in 2 years because the cap's $280 million. And I don't know that, but that's just speculation. But point being is the cap's going to continue to go up. And I just feel like when you look at Dallas, once Prescott got hurt last year, they had no chance. So even though this is not ideal, at least they have a chance.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, the Jets are really, they dominate the conversation locally here because of what they need and the position that they're in. But we don't ask you a lot about the Giants, and I want to, with this in mind, they have $13 million under the cap right now. They still have to sign Leonard Williams. They'd like to sign, I know, Dalvin Tomlinson. They have a quarterback still on a rookie wage scale. How are they in this position where they don't have more money freed up to spend? They're not a very good football team heading in the right direction, but it feels strange for a team with where they've been, with the situation that they are in, to not have more money under the cap right now?
Well, a couple factors. Again, the cap is going down, so, you know, that is impacting, every team. They signed a couple players that obviously didn't work out, Golden Tate, Nate Solder. Those contracts do add up over time. You know, when you pay the wrong people in this system, you're going to pay for it. And those are just a couple of the mistakes they've made. And you look at a guy like Kevin Zeitler, is he someone they can move on from and say, you know what, while he may be a better football player than Shane Lemieux, but maybe Lemieux is 80% of the player and, you know, 60 cents on the dollar. Like, those are things that you have to look at. So it's a fair point because Daniel Jones is on a rookie deal, but there's a couple of really, you know, expensive guys at the top of the roster that are going to take up a big portion of it. And again, with the cap going down, the Giants aren't the only team in this situation.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, we were talking about this earlier in the show as far as what the Giants need to do. I mean, there's, you know, obviously Leonard Williams, and there's some things that they clearly need to do and they'll end up doing. But, I mean, Daniel Jones going into his third year, is it or does it have to be their priority to make sure they support him enough to actually know by the end of the season whether or not he's going to be their guy moving forward?
Yeah, and I think they've done a good job because I think for me it's always about the offensive line in terms of giving quarterbacks a chance. And look, guys, we've talked about this a lot. They put in a ton of resources, starting with Andrew Thomas. And when you look at least they tried with Solder, Hernandez, I think they're going in the right direction as it relates to the offensive line. I think skilled players you can develop. And I think a great example of this was Kansas City. You know, we all year long we talked about all the skilled players and, you know, it's a track meet. But ultimately, when they got to the Super Bowl, guys, they couldn't protect. And Tampa Bay's front seven, and I think Todd Bowles did a great job, but Kansas City went in there really banged up on the offensive line. So I think the Giants are heading in the right direction because I do think they have a improving offensive line, which is the key for Daniel Jones.
Mike, yesterday, owner Jeffrey Lurie came out and said he wants the Eagles to build around Jalen Hurts in 2021. Do you think that's the right decision? And if so, how does that affect their draft plan, especially what they do at number six?
Yeah, Chris, I was a little surprised. I think they have to be somewhat measured. I thought Jalen Hurts, like, again, we talked about this a lot. I think all rookie quarterbacks last year really deserve a mulligan just because no offseason program. So we could be talking about Tua. We could be talking about Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts. You know, they deserve a grade of incomplete. That's just the reality of it. With that said, it was up and down. And I just don't know if you could sit there and say, like, hey, if there's a good quarterback at six, how could you pass him up? I mean, we're in a quarterback-obsessed league, and to me, any reasonable opportunity you can to add one, I think you got to look at it.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. What are you hearing about the Jets? It feels like Deshaun Watson is not going to happen, and I don't know if it will or won't, but it feels like it won't. Darnold feels like there's a chance, and it feels like the more likely, most likely things that they draft a quarterback to. Is that your mindset right now, Mike?
It would be if it was me. You know, yesterday I was going back and forth with Orlovsky. You know, I just think Sam Darnold's a good quarterback. He had 22 interceptions in college. He has 46 turnovers in 3 years. And I know the cast around him hasn't been great. And they tried to address the offensive line last year with Van Roten and Fant and signed Perryman. And maybe not all those moves worked out. But to me, at some point, Sam Darnold has to go from being good to great. And we haven't seen that. And we can watch literally almost any game this year, guys. Zach Wilson looked great to me. And if you're trying to compete against Josh Allen, don't you need greatness if you're the Jets? And to me, I think it's a pretty easy decision. And when you factor in the fifth-year option of what you would have to give Sam Darnold, I would trade Sam Darnold and draft Zach Wilson.
Yeah, but Mike, don't you also have to factor in, I mean, a couple things for me, is in order to be great, you need to be available. And for the first 3 years of his career, he's been hurt, right? So he's not always available for his team, which for me is a problem. And then on top of it, I mean, with Adam Gase, I know you like Adam Gase, but it was not a success with Adam Gase. But just 3 years of just being punished, I mean, mentally and physically, like, don't you have to also, and doesn't have to be baked into the decision too, like where he's at mentally moving forward?
Yeah, I think, and again, I think that's another reason for a fresh start. I don't think it's unlike what's going on with, you know, Chicago, Mitch Trubisky. Like, it would be really hard for him to be successful there. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you look at all that, but you just look at both players back-to-back and you say, within reason, over the next 5 years, do we have a better chance to win with player A or player B? And when you watch the games and watch the tape carefully, I don't think it's that close. I think Zach Wilson has a chance to be really, really good, and I think his game really fits where the league's going, and his athleticism is apparent, and he raised BYU. He raised the level of that program. It's hard to say, hey, who did Sam Darnold make better at the Jets?
Mike, with free agency about a week away, from a roster-building standpoint, what should be the top areas that the Jets prioritize in terms of being able to get veteran guys to come in and contribute immediately?
Offensive line, and offensive line. Because, again, I think without that, you just don't have a chance. And going back to my first draft with the Jets, you know, we took the Brickishaw, Ferguson, and Nick Mangold, and they were there for 10 years, and we won a ton of games with them. And again, I know Andrew Thomas wasn't perfect last year, but I thought that was a really smart pick by the Giants. So until that solidified, Chris, I just, I don't think really a lot else matters. And, you know, once that's done, I think their edge rushers have been just inconsistent at best. Corner has been disappointing. Those are all premium positions, but offensive line, defensive end, and corners, like, those are the three position guys. When you talk to 95% of the people in the league, that if you don't have those three, you're going to be sent home pretty quick.
Mike, great stuff as always. You sound very energized, very lively this morning. Am I picking up on that accurately?
Well, David, actually, starting with your first question, that certainly set the tone for the energy
yeah.
level of the.
That's why I asked you, just to keep you off guard a little bit.
But I appreciate you asking. I do take X2. It's an all-natural, clean energy drink. You go to x2performance.com. It's something that a lot of NFL and NBA teams use, so I appreciate you asking.
All right, we appreciate you. I don't know where it'll go next week, but it could get wild. Good stuff as always, Mike.
Wait, I got a question. Hold on. I know Schefter's coming on at 7:30.
Yeah.
Is he going to get the same question that I got?
No, absolutely not. We're more comfortable with you right now. Well, and apparently there was an issue with Rick a couple years ago where he ran into Schefter at a restaurant and it did not go well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You big time, Mike.
Tuned for 7:30?
You big time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like my sushi place, too. This is like my, like...
It was his home ground, his home turf.
It's my home turf.
You idiot.
It didn't go over well. So, I mean, you should listen, Mike. It's going to be a terrific interview, but we're not as comfortable with him as we are with you, and that's why we ask you that question.
Well, I appreciate the intimacy we've created, but
yes.
I think Adam's a guy that you could probably...
Maybe we will.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe we will. Mike, okay. Thanks. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you.
All right, guys. See ya. Thanks.
Good stuff. Guests on DCR, Mike and Adam and everyone appear via the Goodyear hotline. It sounded to me like at one point he said that Zach Wilson is a very athletic parent. Did you pick up on that?
No, I did not.
It was after
I think you threw him off because Chris asked him about the Jets and he dissected the Giants. I think you're to blame for this.
Well, how am I to blame?
Well, because you set it off. I mean, there's like a 45-second question you asked, too, to try to set yourself up.
Oh, my God. I can do no right. I see where we are right now. No matter what I do, this stems back to the hockey show. I was offered a hockey show. You weren't. And everything I do now, you're going to destroy me for. That's fine. If that's what you need to do to make yourself feel better, then you go ahead and you do it. But RJ, I'm convinced that he said something about Zach Wilson is a very athletic parent. After Rick's third question.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
People tweeting me saying that they thought also that Mike Tenenbaum said that the athleticism as a parent. So let's take a listen to what he said about the athleticism of one Zach Wilson.
His athleticism as a parent.
Is a parent.
A parent.
His athleticism as a parent.
Yeah, but I could see why people would think that he said his athleticism as a parent. Let me hear it again.
Which could be, I mean, listen, who knows? I mean, I don't know if he has kids or not. I would
say
he probably
doesn't. I didn't want to go there. He's Mormon. I didn't know if that's frowned upon or how that works.
His athleticism as a parent.
His athleticism as a parent.
No, he says a parent. He says that his athleticism
as a parent.
I can understand why you could think that.
Yeah.
Either way, he's athletic. Either on
very
the field
athletic.
Or as a parent, he'll be very
right.
athletic.
Whether he has no children or he has children, he's an athletic guy, and that's good for the Jets, potentially.
Exactly right.
Right. Let's go to Shaq and Queen. Shaq, you're next up on 98.7.
Yes. I just wanted to say, to Rick's point earlier, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are scary because they haven't reached their full potential, so they weren't necessarily supposed – that wasn't supposed to happen. As it relates to the Giants, I don't feel like the Giants, Daniel Jones is not an on-the-field developer. Him and Sam Darnold, they're both off-the-field developers.
What does that
they
mean?
They weren't supposed to be.
I don't know what that means. What does an on-the-field developer mean?
It means Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, they might be able to come right in. But Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, they should have been behind a veteran like Cookin, like Steve Young set. For a while, you gain that experience on the sideline, and then you can take over. With the defense, they have a championship defense already. They just don't have a leader that is a leader of men, like an Aaron Rodgers, Tom
who has
Brady.
A, who has a championship defense? Shaq, I'm confused. Who has a championship defense?
I believe he thinks the Giants have a championship defense.
The Giants have a championship defense?
No, they don't. They have a good defense.
Shaq is wildly off base here with that call.
Well, they have a good defense, and I would say that Joe Judge is the leader of men that you need. I would disagree. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is necessarily a great leader of men. I don't know what he meant, like off the field, like is developing like real estate developing. I don't really understand what he was.
What he was talking about is like Pat Mahomes, how he sat for the majority of his rookie year. I think Pat Mahomes played in the regular season finale, a game that didn't mean anything on a playoff caliber squad. But with Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold, what was your alternative? Like the Giants wanted Eli Manning to be the starting quarterback, and that lasted all of 2 weeks, and they decided that they didn't have a chance to be competitive unless they did put Daniel Jones in the game. And then they did end up winning that game down in Tampa that came down to a last-second field goal attempt. So, I mean, it's a situation where it was less than ideal introducing a young quarterback into those circumstances with rosters that didn't have a ton of talent around them. And those young guys have struggled. Most quarterbacks under those circumstances are going to struggle. But I think at some point you're expecting those quarterbacks to show you flashes and be more consistent. And neither Sam nor Daniel Jones has been able to do that in their first few years here. So Daniel Jones has got a huge year three coming up with Sam Darnold. We don't even know if he's going to have an opportunity to play for the Jets again.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, too. I mean, if Pat Mahomes sat for, pretty much the entire year. He played week 17 in a meaningless game, like you said. But, I mean, you can't compare the situations. I mean, that's a playoff team that he took over.
Yeah. They went to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's a playoff team. That was a ready-made team. But that's how it's supposed to work, is you put yourself, like you build the team up to a point that when you do draft the young quarterback, you put him in a position to have success. Like Russell Wilson, like go through the list of quarterbacks that have had great careers and how they're developed.
Tom Brady.
I mean, Ben Roethlisberger.
Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah.
And that's how it's supposed to happen. There are only
Eli too, right?
Yeah, but there's only Aaron a handful Rodgers. Of guys yep. that you can just hand pick and put them in a spot and say, go play, and they're good enough to go make it work and make it happen.
Yeah. But typically, you'll know at the end of 2 years whether you have, in fact, the quarterback. And with the Giants right now, we don't have the answer. They're going to do everything they can to prove that he is the guy, but we don't know that he's the guy right now.
Parcells used to say 3 years, Dave. He said he'd give a player 3 years to show him what he's got, and at the end of that third year, he's going to make a determination.
And that's why, exactly, Chris, this season is so huge for the Giants and specifically Daniel Jones.
Completely agree.
And it sucks, too, that you had to, going into such an important year, second year being a really important year with the new coaching staff, is that you had to deal with the circumstances and it's the offseason wasn't right. You know what I mean? That'd be hard for anybody.
Sure. And he suffered an injury. But I'll say this. I thought that he looked better year one than he did year two.
He probably would have. I mean, he threw 24 touchdowns his first year. Had he played a full season, he probably ends up breaking the rookie touchdown record, and you felt great about it. Still concerned about the turnovers. I mean, you can point to the turnovers. Once they started to figure things out with the offensive line, he did turn the ball. I mean, I think he went, five straight starts, though, turning the football over, which is a positive thing. But that injury, man, I mean, that injury completely derailed their season.
And they rushed him back, and it wasn't the right move.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Long Island Zone, Adam Schefter to DCR on 98.7 ESPN. Adam, a lot to do, not a ton of time, so let's get right to it. Jets fans, we've heard this for weeks and weeks and months since we've known that Deshaun Watson is unhappy in Houston. The Jets fans really seem to want him. How realistic or unrealistic is that to happen now as we hit into March?
I would say a few weeks ago, probably not realistic. I still don't think it's likely. I don't rule them out, but again, he's got so many options. They're in a great spot where they are in the draft with all the draft ammunition, the number two pick, all those things. But I still think that there are a lot of issues that they'd have to get through, that he'd have to get through. And it's complicated. It's layered. I wouldn't have time to detail all of it, but I think it's, at this time, unlikely. But, again, a lot can change between now and the draft.
Shefty, how much stock is Joe Douglas putting in the equation with Sam Darnold, what they could get for the second overall pick? If they get blown away for the second overall pick, are they more likely to keep Sam in that scenario?
I don't think that they're opposed to keeping Sam. But I think once you start taking calls and once you start listening, I think you're starting to go in a direction that I think ultimately in the end they will go down. Whether that results in them taking a quarterback at two or finding out a way, figuring out a way to pull off a Watson deal, which, again, today not as likely as it could be a month from now. They're in a spot that I think they're going to sit back and continue to take calls and wait and not be rushed, and not everybody's going to get a quarterback. And I think they're hoping at some point in time that somebody's going to be willing to give up a first-round draft pick for Sam Darnold.
Shefty, yesterday Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys agreed to that record-setting deal. What impact, if any, will that Dak deal have on potential contract discussions for quarterbacks like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Aaron Rodgers?
Well, that's a great question. You know, here's the thing, is that Dak had tremendous leverage. Again, if they had essentially put him on that tag, which they're going to tag him today as a procedural matter, but if he had not signed that contract, he would have been looking at getting tagged next year to the tune of like $54 million. He could have just up and left, and they would have been without a quarterback. So they were staring into the abyss, and they had to pay through the nose. They had no choice. If you're Lamar Jackson, you're the Ravens, you've got time to work this out. Same with Buffalo and Josh Allen. They don't have the leverage. Now, those guys could sign now, or they can continue to try to play it forward and wind up playing on the fifth-year option. No one wants to do that. So there's a deal in there for both quarterbacks that makes sense. Do I think it's as high as Dak? I don't believe it will be. But then again, I also tell you that the longer they wait, the more the money will go up over time, which is exactly what Dak did. And by the way, if you look at these things over time, Peyton Manning retired 5 years ago, and I think he made during his career in Denver $77 million. And now you've got Dak Prescott signing that $160 million deal 5 years later, and it goes to show you where the TV money is going, where the money's going. And by the way, in a few years, it's going to go even higher with the new TV deal, and that money is going to skyrocket. And again, Dak gets $160 million, and if you think back to what Jerry Jones paid for the Dallas Cowboys in 1989, was $156 million.
Unbelievable. Adam Schefter with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I want to go back to Deshaun quickly with you, Adam. You say you don't really believe that he winds up with the Jets. At least you don't think so today. Do you think he's taking...
Not today. Not today. Subject to change. How about that?
Okay? Right. Fair enough. Do you think that he's taken his last snap with Houston, though?
You know, look, everybody wants to know. And here's what I know. I know that the Texans today, and everything's today, are intent on not trading him. I know that Deshaun Watson today is intent upon never playing for that team ever again. How does that play out? I think if the player is as dug in as I think he is, the Texans will not win here. If the player is as dug in as I think. Now, it's very easy to talk this way in mid-March if you're the Texans or Deshaun Watson. Who's going to be following through? Are the Texans going to listen to that around the draft when they're getting offers for real picks and real quarterbacks? Are they going to continue to hold strong to their stance, or are they going to waver off that? I don't know the answer. Is Deshaun Watson, if he's not traded for training camp, going to risk showing up and put $21 million at stake and the idea that his contract could toll and enter into that long-term mess with, is he willing to go there? If he is, then he's going to win. He's going to win. But I don't know how far each side is willing to go today. Nobody does.
Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes to get him to the Jets. Adam Schefter joins us here in the show. Schefter, with all this talk about Zach Wilson, I mean, plenty of people coming out saying that Zach Wilson may actually be the best quarterback in this draft. I don't know if that's for clicks or they really believe it or not, but is in what you heard, is it a foregone conclusion that Trevor Lawrence is absolutely the number one pick?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence will go number one, and then the Jets will be on the clock there, assuming that they don't trade that pick, looking at, I would think, taking a quarterback at number two. And again, I've heard people rave about Zach Wilson for a while now. I think there are some people who think that he's every bit the prospect that Trevor Lawrence is, maybe more. Now, it's hard to imagine that. You hear these sorts of things every year, but he's got a lot of respect, and I've always felt like Zach Wilson would be the number two pick in this draft. I'm always, since the end of the season,
How about that?
Shefty, with all the reports coming out of Chicago about how they're prioritizing a run at Russell Wilson, as a practical matter, could the Bears offer the Seahawks enough to make Seattle consider absorbing that $39 million cap hit if they were to trade Russell Wilson?
Look, I think when you're desperate enough, you can do anything. I think that, you know, the Bears are, they know they have to have a quarterback. So when I read these stories, you know, the Bears are prioritizing, well, who else do you want to prioritize? Like, well, of course they're prioritizing Russell Wilson. Of course. Now, the question is, what are they going to offer? Is it 3-1s and Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack? And to me, if you're the Chicago Bears, you can't offer enough. Like, I would say to Seattle, take a look at my roster. Tell me who you want. Tell me how many picks you want. Whatever you want, you fill it out. Like, it's not hard. I just don't know what it is in Chicago that floats Seattle's boat. I don't know what that is because they don't have a quarterback to offer. And so they have to make it up elsewhere. And as great as Khalil Mack, and he's great, does a team that's taking a $39 million cap hit for a quarterback, if it were to trade him, does it want all that money on Khalil Mack's deal? Is that what it wants? I don't know that it does.
It needs
players that are cheap.
Yeah, wild stuff. Adam, we appreciate it. We know you got to run. Thanks so much. I hope we get to talk to you again soon. And enjoy free agency. It's going to be a good March here in the NFL.
Appreciate you guys. Hopefully Rick will not big time me the next time he sees me at a restaurant.
we heard about that story. We apologize for him. Thanks, Adam. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys.
Good. Rick, it still bothers him. You can tell. I mean, deep down, he's still very upset by the way you handled that situation.
Yeah, I have no choice now. I'm going to have to actually take him to sushi.
Why don't you send some sushi over to his house?
I don't think sushi is something that you send to somebody.
You've never ordered sushi in?
No. No, never.
Well, it doesn't deliver. They don't deliver. I mean, the sushi place doesn't deliver. I would have to go pick it up and know where he lived to deliver it.
Pick it up and drop it off at his house. Extend the olive branch. It's good for you, your neighbors with him, and it's good for our show.
For you guys, I would do whatever it takes. I mean, if he wants me to pick him up a couple of rolls, I would take it over to his house. Absolutely. Yeah,
can we get the name of the sushi spot, though, Rico?
No.
I mean, you're keeping this under wraps. Why are you keeping it to yourself, man? Share the wealth.
Not.
Share the wealth.
Why. Can I say why? Because you don't want people to know where you live. And if you give this information out, now everybody knows where you live and where Schefter lives. And you want
exactly
to keep that
right.
Quiet. I know.
You know what, though? Here's an amazing thing, though. And I don't know if this happens to you guys or not. It definitely happens to Canty because he's as big as he is. And this is, I'm not even lying, Dave. And maybe this is just the frequency that I go to these places because I only go to a certain handful of places.
Mm-hmm.
I walk into these places. I have a winter hat on. I have a mask on.
They
on
know
top
exactly
of the mask,
who you are, don't they?
I have every single time. Hey, Rick, what's up? I'm like, how can you tell it's me?
Isn't that what you're looking for? Well, familiarity? That you walk in and they know who you are?
Yeah, I guess so, but I mean, is it that obvious?
Well, first,
if you always go to that place, then yeah, they're going to know who you are.
And they listen, you're a celebrity, right?
You can only see my eyeballs, though. You can't see anything else.
Yeah, but you have very, very distinguished eyes.
See, I don't think I have nice eyes. I just have just brown eyes.
No, they're very nice eyes. I mean, I don't want to go far enough that Chris is going to feel uncomfortable, but I think you have nice eyes.
Yeah, but they're not nearly as receptive as your brown eye.
I have very nice eyes. Could be the best thing I have.
Wow. just slip that one under the radar.
Beautiful eyes.
Wow.
You do have nice eyes. Let me see those things. Get closer to your computer so I can see those things.
How does your mind work like that?
Yeah, those are nice.
Those are nice eyes.
Yeah, well, but we shave off. We shave off 7 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'll get there. I mean, we have the new treadmills coming today, by the way.
That was a mistake. You should have got the Peloton treadmill.
Listen, the
you.
Family, what you don't understand, what you should understand better is that the other people in my family wanted the treadmill.
I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
I'm demanding a Peloton? No, I'm a people pleaser is what I am.
Well, I think if you suggested it, though, I mean,
I suggested the Peloton. They said, we want the treadmill.
No, but time out. Here's where the disconnect is you said Peloton, insinuating that the Peloton bike, they want a treadmill. What I'm telling you is Peloton makes an actual treadmill.
I understand.
So you
that.
Too could look like Dan Graziano.
I understand that. But that's not what the family wanted. They wanted the Nordic Track treadmill. This thing is what they wanted, and this is what we went with. And I'm going to get on this thing starting today after Sherry puts it together, and then we will we'll get down to business.
is this the one with the screen that like that you can like run through the woods and stuff?
Yes.
So that's pretty, I mean, that's nice.
Should be nice. Should be nice. I told her we should have the guy pay him like whatever it costs to have him come in the house and just put it together.
Yeah, I don't love the idea of having exercise equipment that you have to assemble.
Yeah. Well, I think all of it now you have to assemble.
No, but why? You don't have to assemble.
No.
I mean, that's a treadmill, though.
No, not at all.
An easy put together.
She's very excited about doing this.
Yeah, until all of a sudden she jumps on and it shoots her through the wall because she didn't assemble it right.
She fixed the dryer the other day.
She disassembled
the dryer.
Can you send her to my house? My washing machine is broken.
She's unbelievable in the stuff that she's able to do.
Did you see, I was going to say this for Thursday, but I'm going to bring it up now just because it feels topical. Did you see what Burger King's campaign was?
Yeah, women belong in the kitchen. Didn't necessarily land the way that they thought it would.
How did they think it would land, Chris?
Well, I think it was because it was such a disparity between men that were, you know, becoming chefs and cooks versus women. And I thought that they were just saying that this was a space that women belong in as well.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Who's doing the marketing?
They were trying to be inclusive, companies? Dave, and they were just completely tone deaf.
Yeah.
Who's doing their marketing? Greg McDermott from Creighton? I mean, this was a bit, sorry, it was a misstep. We apologize.
Terrible.
If they want to be in the kitchen.
It's awful. There's no
excuse. It's a billion-dollar company.
It's a bad job. All right, well, let's get to the NFL calls. 800-919-3776. It's an instant gratification world. That's why Indeed has Instant Match and searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver your people who fit your job description and right away. To learn more about all Indeed's great hiring tools, visit Indeed.com/credit. Let's go to Steve in Somers. Steve, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's up, Steve?
Good. I love the show. I love how you guys relate with each other. I am a longtime Jet fan since the days of Ken O'Brien, and I'm also a BYU alum. And I love Zach Wilson. I love the way he plays. My question is, if the Jets don't land Watson, which it sounds like from what Schefter just said is not a high possibility, what do you think the chances are that Zach Wilson is taking snaps in September for the Jets?
I'd say more likely than not.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the especially if they don't land Watson, I would put it at 80% that he's the quarterback in September.
You know what I thought was interesting? How Shefty answered that question about Deshaun Watson. I mean, we talked about this a couple different times. I wonder if I read a report that Deshaun Watson's list of teams that he would like to go to doesn't have the Jets on it at the moment. Doesn't have the Jets on it. But Houston, because if they get rid of Deshaun Watson, obviously they need to address the quarterback.
Right.
Would want the second overall pick. So they would like to have that deal done with the Jets. But because he has the no trade clause, that isn't, at the moment, a possibility. I wonder if this is the whole waiting and playing hardball is to get Deshaun Watson off his stance.
So he'll open up the places he's willing to go to?
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you were that hell-bent on not playing for Houston, and they were like, okay, like the James Harden thing, we're going to make this uncomfortable. And he's like, no, Brooklyn, I'm telling you, we're going to keep you here. And he's like, well, I would go to the Sixers, too. I mean, it ended up being Brooklyn, but all of a sudden it started. It was only Brooklyn.
Right, there was traction gaining in Philadelphia. Interesting. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave, and good luck with the treadmill. And just to give you a little advice, if you want to really get yourself into shape, buy yourself a Total Gym also and, you know, complement that with the treadmill, and you'll be a new man come the summertime. But, you know,
I don't have a lot to lose. I was fat at one point. If I, like Rick just said, if I lose like 5 to 7, I'm gonna be sensational again. So there's nothing to worry about.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting cut. So, you know.
Get cut, Dave. Get ripped up like a bad report card. Get cut up.
It's not going to happen.
We're going to the next level. Listen, good for Prescott. I'm all for the players getting the money. I think it's crazy. I can't imagine what Josh Allen's going to get next year when he hits the bargaining table. And, you know, as for Russell Wilson, you know I've been on the bandwagon for him for a long time. Zach Wilson for a long time. The only thing that scares me about this situation is that Douglas made his career through the draft, through college, through picks, this and that. I just hope that he's not going to get too cute and all of a sudden somebody is going to come out of there and give him a deal that he can't refuse, which I just don't see. General managers aren't stupid. They know the Jets want to move Donald. They're not going to give up too much to get him. So I think it's fairly safe to say Zach Wilson will be under center. But let me ask the three of you, who's going to be the backup quarterback? Because that's important. I don't know if it's going to be C.J. Beathard. I think Tyrod Taylor would be a perfect guy because he's a mobile quarterback. Just in case Wilson isn't ready, I think he could pick up LaFleur's system pretty easy. I'm curious what you guys think.
I think it has to be a veteran.
How about Alex Smith?
I like Alex Smith too. It would have to be someone. It would have to be someone like that that can actually help this kid grow. I mean, that's so important.
You hear Chris, who's getting a lot of love out there as far as
Chase Daniel. Acquired.
Yeah, Chase Daniel,
mm-hmm.
who started like just a nominal amount of games, but I guess he's so good with young quarterbacks.
That's like having another coach, right? I mean, that's important. I mean, that's crucial. Chris knows that. I mean, Chris is the same thing. I mean, every young player that goes into a locker room, you if you're lucky enough, you'll have a veteran that takes an interest in you and kind of shows you the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
How to watch film, how to eat, how to train. We'll actually, like, we'll drag you to the weight room. Like, you'll be like, there'll be times, like, you'll see young kids that come in the locker room, right? They'll practice, and then they'll put the stuff on a leave, and then the veteran guy will be like, no, where are you going? This isn't when we leave. This is when we go. Now we go to the gym and we work out. Like, Julius, remember the story like Julius Randle told about mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant? Once you land in a new city, this is we go find a gym and we work out. We get a workout in.
That's right. A lot of stuff to do. But there's going to be veteran quarterbacks that can be brought in to help along with assuming they take Zach Wilson or whoever else, right? I mean, we just named three or four. There's going to be guys.
Yeah, there are always guys. I mean, last year the Giants had the opportunity to sign Colt McCoy, and we felt like that was the right move just to kind of be that pace car for Daniel Jones. So, I mean, yeah, there'll be a guy, but I think it's important that the Jets – They have some conviction about who's going to be their quarterback for the next decade. I don't think this is a situation where they put a Band-Aid on it or they take a wait-and-see approach with Sam. If they stay with Sam Darnold, he needs to be their quarterback for the future. If they don't, then they need to go ahead and draft Zach Wilson, or if Deshaun Watson is a viable option, go that direction. But this is the offseason that the Jets got to figure out their long-term plan at quarterback.
I don't understand why you're so against the total gym.
It's just not me.
Well, like, what do you mean?
I know who I am. I'm not a guy that's going to start lifting weights and doing
it's
all
not
that kind
weights.
Of stuff.
I mean, you saw Chuck Norris. I mean, Chuck Norris does it. Christy Brinkley does it. You don't want to look like Chuck. Look how good Chuck Norris. I mean,
he looks terrific. But if I have a treadmill, it's more than enough. That's all I need.
I don't know. I think Arv is right. You want to cut it up a little bit. Start shredding the muscle a little bit.
It's very unnecessary for me. Now, at CVS, we look for savings for you from coupons and insurance coverage to lower cost options. You can earn up to $50 in extra bucks each year just for filling prescriptions. Come in or call today for a free prescription savings review at CVS. That's healthier, made easier. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details. 800-919-3776 as we close out with your NFL calls. And I'm just being told, Rick, guess who the big guest on KJZ right at the top?
Who? It's got to be a Super Bowl. I mean, 8 o'clock, it's a big hour. I would say probably some kind of Super Bowl champion.
That is correct. He did win a title with the Giants.
Newly engaged?
Yes, newly engaged.
That's the big guy. That's Chris.
That's right.
Chris, you better believe it.
8 o'clock.
Hey, don't say, Chris, just do us a favor. Don't say anything too great, because we know they'll steal it for the last 2 hours. Don't say anything too earth shattering.
Be your best self, Chris. You do you. If they steal, we'll just have fodder for tomorrow's show.
Well, you already know our 5 o'clock hour is their production meeting.
They just listen to the show and take little ideas away.
All right,
now Matt in Connecticut, who has a complaint that I brought up in the 5 o'clock hour and got hammered for. Matt, you're next up on 98.7.
What's up, fellas? First time, long time.
Appreciate
What's up,
the call, Matt. What's going on?
Oh, always wanted to say it. And so, Rick, I used to play hockey against you. I was a New York kid, select 17s. We won the gold medal in St. Cloud, no big deal. And I just had a little issue with how you guys are rolling out CMP right now. So it's usually you have to make an agonizing decision as to which one you're going to trash, even though they're all great options. And right now you guys are picking one topic and cuddling it to be safe and ruining the integrity of the game.
I don't think we disagree with you. I mean, this is where we're at, though, Matt. I mean, this is what the game's turned into. All right, let's put you on the spot. Dave, Chris, or Rick? Cuddle, marry, trash.
Yes, Matt. Choose.
Wow. Oh, and that's what I mean. That is very tough, but I'll give it a shot.
Go ahead.
So, Dave, I don't want your head to get too big here, but I love you. I think you're the reason this show goes. You drive it, and you play that maniacal sports fan, which a lot of people can relate to.
So what does that mean, Matt? Where are you placing me in the Cuddle, Marry, Trash game?
I think you know where I'm going with this, Dave. I'm going to marry you.
Oh, my God.
Dave gets the ring. Disgusting.
All right. Continue along, Matt.
All right, and then I'm gonna cuddle Canty, and the reason being, first of all, he's 6'8", 300 pounds. I mean, I can't run from that. So he's an educated hockey fan, and I like it.
Wise man, Matt. You're a wise man.
I want to hear the. I know.
Hang
obviously,
up the
you're
phone.
Trash
Hang
Rick.
Up the phone.
But,
this is ridiculous.
No. It's a great call. It's one of the best we've had. Matt, why in fact though, are you trashing Rick?
Now, and here's why I absolutely, you know, this is the agonizing part of the game. I don't want to trash Rick. I need to trash Rick, and it's going to come back to our draft year. You know, you were number one overall, and I was, a small D2 prep school kid out of Millbrook, and never quite got my name called that night or the next day. So, being number one overall, you kind of shoved it to me a little bit. So, I'm going to trash you now.
Oh,
hate,
there you go.
Hate.
I like it. Matt, thanks for the call. Great call. One of the best we've had, to be honest.
That's a terrible call.
What a great call. I mean, he could be number one star when we
listen,
do that.
If I'm not trashing Dave or Chris, and I'm going to bring up Chris being 6'8", I'm marrying that because I'm going to get that pregnant because I want to have a first-round draft pick with Canty.
Listen, that guy knows what
there's no athletic
ability.
I get you pregnant.
Was.
I'm getting Dave pregnant. What am I going to have?
Beautiful babies, well-endowed little children. Right. DCR brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Yeah, he doesn't know what a magnum is.
Tune into Straight Talk, offering the Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199 and $5 unlimited talk, text, and data plans. No contract on America's best networks. Santi, it is your time to shine on a Tuesday.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Late addition to three stars. I think we ought to give one to Matt in Connecticut there just for
well
turning
done.
Around Cuddle, Marry, Trash on there. Although I will say, if you're basing the game and trashing somebody, it seems to me like it's coming off in a place of bitterness.
Yeah, jealousy.
Which pettiness kind of works when
you're
doing this program.
No, I think he appropriately analyzed. I do. I think it was very well done by him.
Now listen, that's up for debate for future shows.
Number two.
Number two is going to go to our guy, Adam Schefter, for turning things around on Rick, saying he's the big timer here. I think we need more backstory on this. I'd love to have Schefter on and clarify this at a future date. Maybe RJ can make that happen.
Number one.
Come on, any doubt. It's Rain Dakota Prescott because he got the money.
Oh, God.
And I don't have to hear about this stupid, is he worth this? Is he worth that? Oh, I don't know. I don't have to hear about that anymore. Just give Dash Prescott his flowers and give him his money.
Do not disrespect Dak Prescott.
With that name, he's born a woman. Whole different profession.
We got to go. You're late. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.